Friends and radio listeners, and welcome to this edition of the Archie Hardy program, as once again we declare to you, souls are crying and men are dying. We must do all we can to win the lost at any cost. And the message you will hear today is a great witnessing tool that will help you to share God's love with those who need to know. I'm Sharon Knotts, and I'm happy to introduce this message that I preached at Faith Tabernacle Church, the greatest offer ever made. John 3:16 is the greatest story ever told of the greatest offer ever made by the greatest person who ever lived. You may think you've heard all there is to preach about this verse, but I urge you to listen to this message today, and your eyes will be opened and your heart enlightened to this truth in a way you've never experienced before. Both comforting and convicting, the greatest offer ever made will flood your heart with the power of the gospel. And now the message. And you know what the worst thing of all about hell is? The worst thing of all hell is not the pain, not the stench, not the demons, not the evil, not the darkness, not the fire, not the screams of the wicked. But the worst thing in hell is that there is no presence of God, therefore no presence of good. The man who wrote the book, 23 Minutes in Hell, and if you want to know more about hell, get his book, Bill Weiss, 23 Minutes in Hell. God took him to hell for 23 minutes, and it'll make the hair stand up on your head. But one of the things that he said, I've seen him many, many, many times give many interviews, and when they ask him, and he describes hell, and it's horrible, when they ask him what's the worst thing, he always says, the sense of utter hopelessness. That there's no presence of God there. No presence of God. And you'll never get out. And the Bible confirms this. In 2 Thessalonians 1:9 it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Listen to this now. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. From the presence of the Lord. And from the glory of his power. Now some of you are uncomfortable right now. But let me tell you something. There'll be no sermons like this in hell. No sermons in hell. There'll be no teachers to teach. There'll be no preachers to preach. Young people, teenagers, there'll be no saved parents to get on your case. Be no praying moms and dads to get on your case and tell you the truth. No voice of God to convict your heart. And no Holy Spirit say, repent. In fact, people in hell will still have their same desires to lust, to sin, to hate, to rebel, because there will be no presence of God to convict them. Jesus said in the very last chapter of the Bible in Revelations, he spoke about the righteous being with him eternally in New Jerusalem. And he talked about the wicked going into hell and hell being cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And you know what he said? He said, let the unjust be unjust still. And let the filthy be filthy still. Because in hell, the filthy will still have their filthy desires and imaginations. I spoke a minute ago about the rich man that Jesus talked about in Luke 16. The rich man died and went to hell. And listen to what he said. He begged. He said, send Father Abraham and let him dip the tip of his finger in water and come down here and cool my tongue, because I am tormented in this fire and in these flames. But notice what he did not say. He didn't say, forgive me of my sins. He didn't say, have mercy on me. He didn't say, forgive me of my sin. Because there's no convicting power of the Holy Spirit in hell. That's why God is speaking to us now, where the Holy Spirit has come to convict our hearts, because it will cause us to turn to him. And we can get to the best part, that they shall not perish, but what? Have what? Everlasting life. everlasting life. Amen. Let's read one more verse in John. John 11:25. This is the story of when Lazarus died. How many ever heard of Lazarus? He died, was dead 4 days. Jesus came. He was going to raise him up. At first, his two sisters named Mary and Martha, they came, and they, of course, they were brokenhearted. They didn't understand why Jesus didn't come sooner and heal their brother while he was sick, because they were all friends and close to Jesus. Why didn't you come and heal him? But now he's dead. And Jesus said, don't worry. Didn't I tell you if you believed, you're going to see the glory of God? Amen. He said to Martha, he says, if you believe. And Jesus said to her in verse 25, she said, oh, Lord, I know he'll live in the last day. I know he'll live on resurrection day. Jesus said, no, no. Verse 25, what did he say? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he looked at Martha and he said, believest thou this? And he's looking at us this morning and he's saying, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? How many say, I believe? You see, when the Bible writers wanted to illustrate the love of God that we labored in the beginning, how much God loves you, when they want to illustrate the infinite love of God, they always point to the cross. Remember, he said, while we were yet sinners, while we were ungodly, Christ died for us. So when they want to point to the love of God, they point to the cross. But when they want to illustrate the power of God, they point to the empty tomb, because Jesus is not on the cross and neither is he in the ground. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and because I live, shall you live also. I want to tell you one more story. A missionary went to Asia to show the Jesus film. The Jesus film has been shown to over 1 billion people since it was first made back, I think it was made in the 70s. In fact, it's been running on TBN this week. You may have seen it. It's from the Gospel of Luke. It's taken right out of Luke. And so he went to a place in Asia, in the jungles of Asia, to show the Jesus film. And this was a Buddhist stronghold. We talked about Buddhism a little earlier, how that, you know, they have all their gods. And the place that he went was so remote that these people had never seen a movie before. Now, you got to remember, this was a long time ago. They had never seen a movie. They didn't have satellite and internet and such as that. They had never even seen a 16-millimeter or 8-millimeter movie. And they had never, ever heard of Jesus Christ. They had no idea who he was. So he began to show the movie. And when it got to the place where they took Jesus to Pilate's judgment hall and they began to beat him, you saw the passion. I couldn't keep looking at it sometimes. When they got to the place where they were beating Jesus, the people stood up and they began to scream and yell at the screen, and they were hollering and they were shaking their fists. They were carrying on so bad he had to turn the movie off and calm them down and say, now wait a minute, it's going to get better. It's going to get better now. This is not the end. Now just sit down and watch the rest of the movie. So he got them quiet and they all sat down. He began to show the movie, and then they got to the part of the crucifixion where they're nailing Jesus to the tree. And this time the people stood up, only this time they turned around and started taking off their shoes and stuff and throwing it at the missionary. And again, he had to turn the projector off and said, wait a minute, I promise you it has a good ending. Just calm down and sit down and watch the rest of the movie. And he finally got them calmed down, and he finally turned it on again, and they watched it. And when they got to the part where Jesus was raised from the tomb and appeared unto Mary, they jumped up. They began to dance and clap and sing and rejoice. People who had never seen a movie, people who had never heard of Jesus, but the power of the gospel witnessed to them, because it's a gospel of power and joy. And they began to rejoice and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Amen. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus despised the cross.
He despised the shame of the cross. It was shameful. It was a reproach. He hung there naked and humiliated in addition to suffering. He despised the cross, but he endured the shame for the joy. For the joy that was set before him. And the joy that was set before him was to save you and to save me. That was the joy that made Jesus endure the cross. That was the greatest offer ever given. The greatest offer ever made by the greatest one who ever lived. And Jesus offers you today eternal life. Do you want to receive that offer? Let's bow our heads here. Because Jesus has given you the greatest offer that's ever been offered. And I've given you the Word of God. I've given you the gospel in all its glory and all its power in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is calling you today. And he's saying, why will you die when you can turn yourself? Come unto me and you shall live.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Whether you think you're saved or not, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
All of my sins.
All of my sins.
Deliver me from the devil.
Deliver me from the devil.
All the power of the devil.
All the power of the devil.
Right now.
Right now.
Wash me in your blood.
Wash me in your blood.
Cleanse me from all sin.
Cleanse me from all
Come
sin.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And make your child.
Make me your
I
child.
I receive you.
I receive you.
I receive you right now.
I receive you right now.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
And I confess you.
And I confess
before
you.
The world.
Before the
that
world.
You are my Lord.
That you
I thank
are my
you
Lord.
For saving
and
me.
I thank you.
I thank you for delivering
you.
Me. I thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet and praise him.
Amen. I trust that you are being immensely blessed by this uplifting and gracious message, the greatest offer ever made. John 3:16 is the greatest story ever told about the greatest offer ever made by the greatest person who ever lived. It expresses in one verse the irreducible love of God, and it all comes down to one thing. He loved us even when we didn't know him. Paul wrote in the Ephesians that his prayer was that we would know the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God that is past knowing. Is this a paradox? No, because the more you come to know the love of God, the more there is to know. In this carefully structured teaching, we will see by examining every phrase of John 3:16, the unsearchable riches of God's love to whosoever will. And in this day of rising false messiahs, we must know there is only one Savior, one Redeemer, one Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Either he was a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord as he said. He stands alone on the pages of history, the only way, truth, and life. I really hope that you will order this message and consider sharing it with someone who is in danger of perishing. Yes, even the greatest story ever told bears a warning of judgment. And for every whosoever in your life who thinks that he or she is outside of the circle of God's love and forgiveness, or who appears to be just unconvicted about their need for a Savior, this stirring delivery will surely strike the hidden chord of their heart's deepest need. It is available on CD and audio cassette for your love gift to the radio ministry of $10 or more. Ask for offer SK141 CD for the CD or SK141T for the audio tape. Please send your request and orders to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or go online at rghardy.org. Oh,